The stock market's having quite a rally, and the bullishness is nicely underscored by the S&P 500 index having hit new all-time highs 33 times since the beginning of 2014. It's now close to a record all-time high and has surpassed the 2000 level psychological barrier. And technical market watchers often say that though an index struggles to break through a ceiling such as 2000 on the S&P 500, once it does break through, that old ceiling then becomes the floor, a new resistance level that the index doesn't easily fall below. Or if it does fall below in a meaningful way, it sends a signal about the near-term direction of the market. Anyway, in addition, the market rally and bullish sentiment has been a boom for IPOs, and that's the subject of my talk today. With all manner of companies having gone public over the last few years, with record first-day surges in stock prices to lofty, often unjustified valuations, even though many of these companies don't have fundamentals to back up their stock prices. In the month of August alone, 204 businesses held initial public offerings for a combined market value of over $46 billion, which, according to the Wall Street Journal, is the highest number of IPOs at the highest valuation since the year 2000. And while I understand the broad bullish sentiment in the market can attribute some of it to the strength of the U.S. economy and low interest rates, and stocks pretty much being the only game in town that earns inflation-beating returns, and also strong earnings by American companies relative to the rest of the world, the bullishness on IPOs, especially of companies that don't have the fundamentals to back up their valuation, confounds me a little. And it strikes me as a bit of Wall Street opportunism, where bankers feel they can make a fast buck by taking companies public and earning about 6% of the IPO value. And by cashing in on investor bullishness and silliness and the appetite for risk, while offloading less than solid companies into the laps of public shareholders. We have seen this before, and we're seeing it again. I also see the point that IPO valuations reflects future potential. That's what they said about Pets.com and other companies that went out of business after the dot-com era. But in the same vein, I also came across an article titled "What's Going On with the Boom in Profitless Stocks" by Jacob Davidson of Time Money, where he says that for the first time since the dot-com era, get this, a whopping 83% of 2014's IPOs have negative earnings. That's just short of a record 84% in the red IPOs in the year 2000 at the height of the dot-com bubble. And by the way, anytime I hear that anything compares to the year 2000, I start to get worried. So it certainly seems like we're back in the go-go dot-com days, based on IPO statistics anyway. And we all know how badly it ended in 2000. The S&P lost half of its value when that bubble burst. And the article says, you know, it might come in the same box with a different color bow, but like Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. And while the Time Money article focuses on tech stocks, I think the IPO boom has been broader this time around, with pharmaceutical companies, restaurants, and a host of other companies cashing in on investor bullishness. Biotechs, for example, accounted for about 22% of all the 2014 IPOs year to date, and these are companies that often have experimental late-stage drugs awaiting FDA approval. They're not making any money yet, and they're burning through a lot of cash for research and development. And if you look at who's buying these IPOs, it's a lot of savvy institutional investors, trained money managers who manage public pension funds and mutual funds and so on, who appear to be willing to take on high levels of risk for potentially high rewards. And I think there's also some herd mentality at play here. Fund managers are unwilling to sit out a continued surge in the markets lest they underperform their peers, and that's the classic adverse incentive that encourages heavy risk-taking by money managers. Of course, with other people's money, your money and mine. If the market tanks, their saving grace will be to blame the losses on market factors and not their own shortcomings. So, hot IPOs of overwhelmingly loss-making companies and 33 record highs for the S&P are, in my opinion, warning signs that the market may have drifted away from fundamental value. In addition, I mentioned a few weeks ago, Nobel Prize-winning economist Robert Shiller's cyclically adjusted 10-year price-to-earnings ratio, is about 25, and that's well above this 20th century average of 15, so there's warning signs all around us. But, and this is a big one, no one, not even Shiller, who created that index, can say for sure how much higher the market might go or how much longer this bullishness might continue, because the U.S. economy appears to be doing much better than most other developed economies in the world. Okay, one last thought. I'm starting to see in my advisory practice a change in the psychology and expectations of clients. It wasn't that long ago that clients were asking for safety and were happy with achieving a 5 to 7% return on their investment. Today, with pretty much all stocks going up and earning high double-digit returns, people are less worried about safety and focusing singly on high returns. This is a big psychological shift, which is a sign of a toppy market. Again, it doesn't mean that the market is going to decline right away or overnight, but the general public usually comes late to the party after most of the money has been made. And if you're one of these people who tend to buy high, sell low, and repeat until broke, make sure you keep your emotions in check and always look to be playing, as the great investor Howard Marks puts it, not losers tennis, meaning watch the downside, don't lose too much, and always, always remember the risks you are taking.